Well, are we each one reaching one? Did we pray? Did we pray for the one? I did. I put a sticker on my microwave, on my mirror, on my dash, in my car. And it's like every time. Because you know what? That's why we're here. We could have gone to heaven right after we got saved. But that's why we're here, is to reach one. God wants to use us to reach the one. God wants to use us to reach our family. God wants to use us to reach our city. And God wants to use us to reach our nation. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. It's so important that we get a hold of this and not get passive about it. You know, it's like we are the church that needs to be alive. At intercession, we've been praying for the sleeping church in St. Thomas. We've got to start here. You know, and it's so easy just to get passive. And it's like, yeah. Nothing's happening. No doors were opened. My neighbor, I run into her all the time. Not one time since I started praying. And it's like, yeah, devil, you're a liar. She's going to get born again. I put a mark on her. Why? Because God puts a mark on her. If somebody will stand in the gap and believe him, he hears all of our prayers, every prayer, according to his will. He hears. He hears them. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, it is God's will for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. All men, every single person. So you know what? They may not be moving towards what we're trying to believe God for, but that doesn't mean our prayers aren't working. Does not mean our prayers are not working. 1 John 5:14-15 says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And either we believe that or we don't. And we believe the word of God, right? We believe the word of God. Verse 15 says, if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him. When it lines up with the word of God, he'll back us up and he will do everything he possibly can to line up the circumstances. The key is we do not quit on that person. We're called to reach one. We're on a journey to reach one. And if we reach that one, our faith will grow, and then we'll reach two, and then our faith will grow, and then we'll reach three. But don't stop at the one. We drew a line in the sand 2 weeks ago and said, okay, Holy Spirit, who should I reach? And, you know, we got quiet for a minute, allowed the Holy Spirit to tell us who. And it's like, you stay with it. It is so important. If things are not moving, if we are not making connections, there, you know, like then we may have to change some direction. We may have to do some fasting. We may have to implement fasting. To stand in the gap for that person. Pray yes. Fast yes. Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, he said, when you pray, when you fast, when you give, if you do all three, you will be rewarded openly. Not if you fast, not if you pray, not if you give, it's when you do. These are critical instructions that the believer is supposed to be walking in on a consistent basis. Praying, fasting, giving. It's like a threefold cord. They just work together. And it's so important that we do that. Okay, let's turn to Luke chapter 4. I want you to see something here. So we're going to talk about fasting, implementing fasting in our lives, the importance of it, and where God can take us if we do the word of God. You know, it's so important that we do more than just hear the word of God, but that we do the word of God. And it's so easy to become passive and full of apathy and go back to that lull of, everything's cool, you know. And it's like, no, God wants to wake up the sleeping church, and I'm taking the responsibility of taking that to prayer aggressively, that God will wake up the sleeping church, the passive church, the complacent church in St. Thomas, because he said we could have the city if we asked him for it, and I'm not backing off. I won't back off until we get that breakthrough, and it comes through prayer. But he's spoken to me lately, and he said, it's time to fast. It's time to fast. It's time to implement it into your life. All right? Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness 40 days, tempted by the devil. This happened right after Jesus, another book talks about, right after Jesus was water baptized by John. And the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And then immediately he was led by the Spirit to go into the wilderness. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and he prayed. 40 days and 40 nights. In Matthew chapter 4, the same story, it says Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. 40 days and 40 nights he fasted to be tempted of the devil. And in Luke, it really talks about how he was tempted. The devil tempted him, spirit, soul, and body, every level. And they were brutal, brutal temptations, if you read that chapter. In Luke chapter 4, brutal temptations. Spirit, soul, and body, he tempted him. Offered him bread, offered him this, whatever, the kingdoms, whatever. Every level, the devil tempted him. In Mark chapter 1, verse 12 and through, after he was water baptized, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. That's interesting. Drove him into the wilderness. He was there in the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted of Satan. He was with the wild beasts, so there was all kinds of wild animals coming to visit him. And I mean, he was just a man. And so what would we do in the wilderness? Lions, tigers, bears, I don't know, out there, what, giraffes, whatever, I don't know, camels, I don't know, snakes, reptiles. Paul was bit by things, you know, and it's like, you know. But it says here, it said, but the angels ministered to him continually. I love that. They ministered to him continually. It's awesome. It's awesome. Back to Luke chapter 4, verse 1. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, tempted by the devil. He was tempted, spirit, soul, and body. But the end result, I love the end result. Verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he went into Galilee. He was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. But after 40 days of fasting, he came out with power. With power. With power. And if Jesus could accomplish everything he was called to do and didn't have to fast, why did he fast? Why did he fast? Why shouldn't we fast? We just read in Matthew chapter 6, believers, the instruction to the believers, when you pray, when you fast, when you give. I expect this from you. I expect this from you. This should be a lifestyle. And so if Jesus had to fast to conquer the assignments of the enemy, how much more we? He was the Son of God, but then so am I. So are you, Joan. We are the sons of God because of our faith in Christ Jesus and acceptance of Jesus Christ. Right? But the end result, he was led into the wilderness to fast, but he came out with power. That word is dunamis. Dunamis! Power! He came out empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's like, this is what fasting will do. This is what fasting will do. Amplified says he was full of and under the power of the Holy Spirit. Full of and under the power of the Holy Spirit. Authority, miraculous power, strength, and violence. I like that. Violence against the kingdom of darkness. That kind of power he received while he was fasting. What can it do for us? What can it do for us? So then, if you read the whole chapter of Luke chapter 4, verse 32, it says, they were amazed at his teaching because his doctrine was with power. This is still the same chapter. His doctrine was with authority, like delegated influence, the Amplified says. I love that. Luke 4:36, the same chapter after he came out of the fast. They were amazed and said to one another, "What word is this? For with authority and power he commands unclean spirits and they come out." This was after his fast. Luke 4:38, Simon's mother-in-law. The Bible says it this way, Simon's wife's mother. And I think that was printed for the Catholics because the Catholics believe Peter was never married. But it's Simon's wife's mother. That annihilates that doctrine right out of the book. Simon's mother-in-law had a fever, and he rebuked the fever, and it left her. He had power. He had, in a nanosecond, boom, fever gone. In a nanosecond, demons gone. Boom. Luke 4:40-41. All they that had anyone sick with various diseases brought them to Jesus. He laid hands on every single one of them and he healed them. This was after the fast. This is still Luke chapter 4. 41. And devils came out of many. This was after he came out of the fast and he was endued with power. What will fasting release within us? What will it do? If Jesus was just a man, he left all of his deity. We know that. He struggled. What will it do if we make fasting a lifestyle? What will it do if we fast for this person that we've marked for the kingdom? What will it do? If we lay down our lives and say, "God, I want that one." And God will say to you, "I want him too, because I paid the price." That's what prayer and fasting will do. Matthew 17, this is a story of when the father brings the son that has seizures to the disciples. And they couldn't heal him. The father went to Jesus and said, "My disciples could not heal him." Immediately, Jesus rebuked the devil in the child, and the child was healed. After the fast, nanosecond, the disciples struggled. And in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus had called his disciples and said, "I give you power and authority." They'd have already been given the power to heal the sick, to cast out devils. They'd already been assigned that. He calls his 12 disciples and he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and disease. But in some situations, Jesus is saying here, in some situations, you need prayer and fasting. When he healed the boy from epilepsy, from seizures, and then later on in the day, the disciples asked him, "God, why couldn't we cast that out?" Right? And Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief. This kind comes out by fasting and prayer. Unbelief comes out by fasting and prayer. Unbelief comes out by prayer and fasting." They obviously weren't there yet, even though they cast out devils, even though they healed the sick, even though, you know, they saw God move. But here was a situation that, possibly when they looked at the scenario and saw the boy convulsing, and they said he wanted to go in the water and he wanted to go into the fire, and he'd start convulsing. And possibly they looked at the scenario and thought, oh, this we can't do. And that would have been unbelief, right? That would have been unbelief. And so that's the question. He's saying to his disciples, this situation and many situations in life require more than just prayer. If I am stuck, if I can't move forward in God, if I've lost my hunger for God, if the word of God is not alive to me like when I was first born again, if I'm dealing with sickness and disease, if I'm struggling with work, whatever, and it won't move, this requires not just prayer, but prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. It is so critical. That we submit to that, the instructions of Matthew chapter 6, when you pray, when you fast, when you give. that we become submissive to that command. He made it so plain. And I will reward you openly when you pray, when you fast, when you give. I'll reward you openly. You know, like if the disciples could have cast the devil out of this boy, the reward would have been to see him free and for all to see. For all to see, that would have been the reward. And that's what we want. We want to walk in that kind of power, right? So fasting is the secret to God's power. It's the secret to God's power. And you work your way into it to make it a lifestyle. You know, like you do what you can. Some people are on medication and they have to eat a little snack or something like that. So it's important that you do it in a healthy manner. In a healthy manner. And the reason sometimes when there's unbelief and fasting is required, fasting is like Drano. It unplugs the pipe. The pipe between me and God is like Drano, so that I am more receptive and I have a larger capacity to hear and to receive from him. That's what fasting will do. It opens up our spirit man in a much greater way so that we can hear and receive. And then when we're finished the fast, we walk out with power. Dunamis power, victory. Habits can be broken through fasting. Things can be broken in our lives through fasting. And this is something that most churches don't talk about. It's kind of like intercession. It's like, let's just not go there. And it's like, but it's so clear in the Word of God. And when you see what Jesus did, you know, he came out of the wilderness. And I mean, here he is in a nanosecond, cast out devils, heal the blind, cast out more devils, heal the sick, all of them, every manner of sickness and disease, every single one of them, every single one of them. He laid hands on them and healed them. Every single one of them. There's no record of it before he went into the wilderness. No record of it. But when he went into a fast and prayer, you know, he spent a lot of time in prayer. The night he was in the last night before he was crucified and he was in the Mount of Olives, the Bible says he was in the Mount of Olives to pray, which was his custom. Another place, it tells us that early in the morning before dark, Jesus was up praying. Like, so that's like Steve. He's up at 2 or 3 in the morning and he's on the street. It's like he led somebody to the Lord at 4 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, something like that, a month ago. And the good news is he led him to the Lord. He had a real bad cough. And Steve had heard him for a long time, coughing. And since Steve has prayed with him, no more cough. And all he did was call on the name of Jesus. The man did. It's not complicated. We just need to know how to walk with him and do what he asks us to do. It's so simple. Like that is such a simple story of the gospel, but yet so profound and so supernatural. Amazing. Amazing. You know? And so I don't want us to lose this. I want us to get this so that we are not the church that is lukewarm. Amen? Don't want to be lukewarm. We want to be on fire. So don't give up on the one that you've targeted, the one you put the mark on. I want you for the kingdom. And God said, ditto, me too. That's why I sent my son. Don't let go. Do some fasting for this person. Do some fasting so that God open the circumstances, open the door. Do some fasting. Because when you fast, you'll be able to hear clearer and your pipe will be open. It's so critical. It's so, so critical that we do it that way. Like I said earlier, if Jesus could have accomplished what he was called to do on the earth without fasting, why did he fast? That's profound. Exactly. And so if he had to do it, why not us? And if Jesus instructs us in Matthew chapter 6, believers, my children, my sons and daughters, I want you to pray. I need you to pray. I need you to fast. I need you to give. I need all three. It needs to become a lifestyle. You know, fasting changes us. Fasting doesn't change God. God never changes. Fasting changes me. It changes me. It unclogs me so that I can hear clearly from God. So I encourage you, if you've kind of gotten discouraged and nothing's happened, pick it back up again. Get some more stickers. Do something, but wake it back up again and do it. Where's that one that you've marked for the kingdom? That one. And don't let it go. And be relentless. Because you know what? We're breaking up hard ground. Because the church as a whole has been asleep to some of these things. And it's like, we need to be doing this. We need to go after the lost like never, ever, ever before. And one will lead to two, will lead to three. And it's not about building numbers. It's about reaching the lost. It's not about numbers. It's about reaching the lost. They're dying and going to hell if we don't do something. And you know, like the Thursday when we were at intercession, we were praying for the church to wake up so that God would have laborers. He said, the harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. The church needs to wake up so that God has laborers. And that needs to be us. Be the laborer for the one you've put a mark on. Be the laborer. It is God's will for that person to be saved. Do not stop. Do not quit. Add some fasting with that. Whether it's a meal, whether it's something, but add some fasting and say, no, I'm staying on it. I'm standing my ground. I'm going to do this. I've marked him by the leading of the Holy Spirit, him, her, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, and I'm not quitting. Amen? Okay, so you guys know that we changed our fast day, Saturday fast day, the second Saturday of the month where we normally fast, and then we minister to Brazil. We've changed that because it's just become like we got lost. Our local needs got lost. So we're changing it to Wednesday, the first Wednesday of the month from 6 to 9 p.m. That will be our local church fast day. And then on Saturdays that we minister to Brazil, we will come to church at 1 p.m. We'll pray for Brazil for about 45 minutes, and then we'll get it set up to minister to them as well. Keep in mind, as we sow into another country will sow into us when it's our turn. As we sow and pray for others, we will be healed. It's so critical that we adopt that and realize what God wants to do. Amen? And I think that's it. So we're going to pray for the person that you've marked. We've been praying since 2 weeks ago. We've been praying every time we got together for the person that you've marked for the kingdom. God is with you. You need to get this. It's not like, well, maybe he won't. We read from 1 Timothy, he wants all men to be saved. Every single person that's ever born, he wants them to be saved. But he gives each one a free choice. But it's his will. And so if God, the Holy Spirit, has led you, that's the one that you put the mark on. And it's like, don't quit. Don't quit. I encourage you. Don't stop. And add some fasting. Amen? So we're just going to pray in the Holy Ghost for those people that we, each one of us, have marked. So Father, I thank you for each person that we have marked for eternity, for the kingdom of God. Holy Spirit, you know the will of God. And as we pray in tongues, we are praying according to the will of God for each one, because each one is to be saved. That is your will. We take authority over the blinders. Satan, you are the God of this world. And we say, take the blinders off of them in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask that you shine the glorious light of the gospel on the hearts of each one that's represented here in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus that we have marked for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. And again, we thank you for the circumstances that you orchestrate, Father. In Jesus' name. Help us to be sensitive. Help us to unclog the pipe between you and us when we fast, so that we can hear clearly. In Jesus' name, we thank you that you give us the grace to incorporate fasting in our lifestyle in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it. We ask for your help, Holy Spirit, to pray right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.